Hello, members. Sorry, we're just waiting for a quorum. I gavel in the Education Policy Committee, and we have Representative Christensen's House File 1369 up. Before we start that, before I forget to make the announcement, for now, we will not be meeting next Tuesday, but we will be meeting next Wednesday, and we're just putting together an informational hearing right now on suspension. So working with all the education groups to have that discussion, but that will probably be, unless something unusual happens, our last meeting. So I will try to bring cookies, too, so I can get to baking this weekend. But otherwise, Representative Christensen, if you'd like to move up to the testifiers table and move your bill, the bill will be going to the General Registry. So you can make that motion if you'd like.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. Okay, I move House File 1369 for placement on the General Register.
Thank you, Representative Christensen. And I believe you have an amendment. Would you like to move that and explain it briefly?
I'm sorry, let me get organized.
The amendment's titled A1, members. Should be in your packets.
Okay, A1. The A1 amendment, just what it does is it clarifies in language that there's no penalty for schools that choose to not follow this program, to not benchmark their energy uses. So we added that in, so there's no penalty for the schools. There's no mandate.
Thank you.
So I move it.
Representative Christensen moves the A1 amendment. Any discussion on the amendment? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? A1 amendment's adopted. Representative Christensen, would you like to continue with your bill?
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. House File 1369 creates a statewide goal for all schools to benchmarking their energy usage. It's designed to keep Minnesota's valuable education dollars in the classroom rather than spent on wasteful energy. Minnesota has an existing tool known as the B3 Online Energy Portfolio that allows schools to track their progress, compare to peers, and use building energy data to improve performance and save money. This software is already paid for, and 204 school districts around the state already use it for free. Among the schools benchmarking already, the B3 software identifies over $10 million in cost savings around the state. The benefits from this bill come in two forms. We know school administrators and facility managers are busy keeping schools running. However, benchmarking in the commercial sector has taught us that just looking at your energy data every month reduces energy usage by about 7%. Looking at energy usage helps identify when equipment is not working properly. Much of the energy savings comes from tweaking mechanical equipment that isn't working properly at no cost. Additionally, this will help schools target which energy-saving capital investments would most effectively reduce schools' utility bills. For example, this software can answer, will investing in upgraded lighting or heating systems have a greater impact on my school's utility bills? B3 benchmarking also provides an opportunity for teaching students about energy data. Through the YES program, the YES program, students at schools who already benchmark can enter all the data and look at the energy and cost trends over time. This introduces students to the clean energy career space that is one of the fastest growing areas in our economy. This software, a partnership between the Departments of Commerce and Administration, is managed by the White Group based in Minnetonka. This bill is good for schools, good for students, and good for taxpayers. I ask for your support on this bill.
Thank you, Representative Christensen. Do you want to introduce your testifiers?
Thank you, Madam Chair. First, I will introduce Ben Rabe.
Okay. Rabe.
Okay, I'm sorry. Ben Rabe, who is the Senior Policy Associate with Fresh Energy.
Mr. Rabe, please state your name for the record and proceed.
My name is Ben Rabe. I'm a Senior Policy Associate with Fresh Energy.
Thanks to Chair Joachim and committee members for hearing this bill today. Also, thank you to Representative Christensen for authoring this bill. The goal of House File 1369 is to promote a best practice for schools to help them save money that doesn't cost anything for Minnesota schools to use. If an average-sized school district outside Minnesota wanted to use the B3 software to track energy usage, it costs approximately $5,000 a year to use the program. This doesn't interrupt local control because it doesn't require schools to do anything with the data, and there's no penalty for noncompliance. As Representative Christensen mentioned, the bill has two major benefits. The first is to flag hidden problems. Benchmarking provides high-level building efficiency information that can help flag equipment failure, unexpected operation. This could be things like stuck VAV boxes or simultaneous heating and cooling, which is fairly common in larger buildings. According to a three-year U.S. EPA analysis of 35,000 benchmark buildings, they found a reduction of 2.4% annually for a total of 7% on energy bills after 3 years. The second is to prioritize energy actions. The school's capital investment dollars are very precious and should be reserved for the most cost-effective investments that put money back into the classroom. The B3 software identifies those priorities. Also, utilities around the state already offer rebates to buy down the cost of energy efficiency improvements where schools choose to invest. For example, as a result of benchmarking their energy usage, benchmarking their energy usage, Elk River Schools has identified adjustments they can make in their systems that save the school $500,000 a year. Princeton School District is up to date with their data in B3, and I identified a potential savings of $65,000. St. Louis Park is up to date with their data as of February of last year and has identified a potential savings of $213,000. Hutchinson Public Schools have found a reduction of 20% in district-wide anticipate an operational savings of $175,000, with the changes they've already made. We've been working with all the education groups on this for a number of years, and they're all neutral on this bill. Thanks.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. State your name for the record and proceed.
My name is Sherry Schneider. I'm with the White Group, and we're now a Wilden Company group, just for clarification there. But I'm here today just to give you guys a demonstration of the B3 benchmarking application so you can see how simple it is for the districts to use. This is all a secure site. I have been given permission by ISD 197 to share their data. Normally, this is all secure. But what I have up on the screen is their district portfolio. And I'm going to highlight just entering in a data for one school. So clicking on the building name, all that's required is a building name and an address. So very straightforward information. An occupancy date estimate is all that is needed there. And then in the space usage tab, they can pick a primary building type. So we have the elementary schools, middle schools, high schools, office buildings, all preset with some default space asset types. They can choose if they want to fine-tune these and drill in a little bit deeper. But very simply, they just need to pick the type of school, enter in the gross square footage, and then, as I said, they can continue to tweak this data if they'd like, or they can leave it as that. Once they've got the building set up, we'll define the benchmark, and then they would go in and enter in the monthly consumption for the different fuels that are servicing that building. And looking at an electric bill for an example here, all that's needed, and this is all easily found on their utility bills, that they're already processing for payment, but we've got the reading period, so entering in a start date and an end date, and that's as simple as clicking this button to add a new reading. Finding the consumption, which is clearly noted on utility bills with their KWH. Pending if it is a demand type meter, this KW and demand charge are also easily found on their utility bills. And then the total dollars on the bottom of the bill. So that's inclusive of all the taxes and fees, so they don't need to do any math to enter in that total number. And then they just need to save and close, and they would do that each month for each of the utility bills that they receive. Once they have a year's worth of data, The system is able to calculate the four key metrics here, the benchmark, the peer rating, the Energy Star, and the baseline. And just a quick note on each of them, the benchmark is comparing the building to itself over time, so that's where this potential savings number is being calculated from. We're building a simulated model based off of the current energy code for the building size and attributes that are entered. The peer rating is comparing that building to other peer buildings within the B3 benchmarking database. B3 benchmarking is fully integrated with Energy Star, so all of the data that they enter is automatically sent to Energy Star, and applicable sites pull back a Energy Star score. And baseline is comparing the building to itself over time. So they can define a 12-month period that they would like to compare themselves to, and we will weather normalize to take out that impact that weather may have and show them if they are using more or less energy than their baseline period. Once they have all of the data in for their particular schools at the organization level, they can quickly look at each of the metric tabs and see how their sites are performing and focus on those that have the greatest potential savings or potentially are seeing an uptick in energy consumption when in the past they were potentially seeing a decrease, and maybe catch some of those issues that Ben alluded to with mechanical failures and other operational changes that they may not be aware of. And that's a quick high level of B3 benchmarking and what the schools need to do. Simply looking at the utility bills and being able to pull that information right into B3 benchmarking.
Representative Christensen, do you have anything else to add?
I guess I just, this bill has gone through with a Republican author easily through the Senate, and so I hope that we can get full buy-in on the bill and pass it in this committee. Thank you.
Oh, great. Do we have anybody else from the audience that would like to testify? Oh, so we have a list started here. So Representative Bennett.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And this is an interesting program. I think it sounds like a wonderful thing to encourage districts, school districts to use. If they would so choose. But Representative Christensen, I do have a question. Who from the school districts would be in charge of inputting this data?
Representative Christensen.
Madam Chair. Representative Bennett. It would be up to the school building how they wanted to do that. If they had someone in their office that wanted to do it, there's also an opportunity for utilities to help out in entering that. So it would be up to them how it would be entered. As far as time frame, to enter this,
I can answer that. So as she mentioned, we have office staff, accounts payable doing it, we have kids doing it, we have facilities folks doing it at the schools. It's all up to the school and how they want to do it. As Representative Christensen was mentioning, we do have some integration with Xcel Energy, and CenterPoint actually is picking up a program as well. Well, they'll feed that data to Portfolio Manager, and then we can pull it into benchmarking. So depending on their location, they might be able to facilitate that program as well. But it's various. It all depends on the organization, the district. But we have all sorts of different folks doing it.
Representative Bennett, follow.
Madam Chair, thank you. That's nice that it's flexible, but the concern I have over this type of thing is it doesn't seem like a huge thing. I don't know how long it would take to input this data, but when we stack it upon all of the other things that we require districts to do, that does take time and money, and to me this should be something we should be encouraging districts to do, not mandating. I've watched, I started teaching in 1981, and stayed with the same district all except for 1 year. And I watched our office staff, the support staff, grow and grow. And in many cases, it's from all the mandates that we're putting on them as a state. And so even though it says in this bill that it doesn't, it's not going to cost any money, I really do think there is a cost to this, to our school districts. It's not a bad thing. I think it's a good thing. I think what you're proposing is a good thing as an encouragement, but not a mandate, because every one of these things adds another thing for those office staff to do. So my question is, what, and that, and just, it's rhetorical, you don't need to answer it, but what what part of their job are they going to give up to do this each month because they're busy people. So I think we just need to be really careful what we're mandating for our school districts. And this would be a wonderful thing to encourage and to have other districts share with districts how it's helping them. Good program, but I don't think as a mandate. Thank you.
Representative Grunhagen.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, thank you for the amendment, Representative Christensen, because it makes it optional. I do appreciate that. The other thing, though, I think is I don't know we need to, you know, I don't know we need to put this in statute, to tell you the truth, okay? And that's, you know, this bipartisan criticism. Evidently, a Republican's carrying it in the Senate, so, you know, it's just, you know, you have, I'm saying MDE can notify the districts and let them know what's available. And then if they want to take advantage of that, fine. You've got superintendents, administrators. You know, when I was on the school board, we were constantly looking at ways to be more efficient in our buildings. And I remember one time we voted to replace all the fluorescent light bulbs with brand new ones that were 50% more efficient on electricity. So these people locally, I'm not saying you don't notify them through MDE that these tools are available, but to put it in statute, because my concern is this, sooner or later, once it's in statute, and this is a prediction, somebody's going to look at that down the road, we may not be here, and say, well, we need to make that a mandate. Or I think we should pass an addition to this statute and force all districts to reduce their energy consumption by 5, 10, or 15%. I mean, that's what happens is we begin to over-prescriptively micromanage what we're paying local administrators with a lot of experience and care to take care of. So I know your heart's in the right place. But it just, you know, I guess I agree a little bit with Representative Bennett. It's just one more straw on the back of the camel, and at a certain point, the camel collapses. Okay. So anyway, those are my thoughts. And the other thing is, I just don't like the word best practices, okay? I mean, whole language, inventive spelling, creative writing, comprehensive sex ed, all best practices, goals 2000, profile learning, outcome-based education, all best practices. But the problem is they produce the worst results, okay? So maybe we should call it the worst results, and it would come out better. So I just have a knee-jerk reaction to those words. So nothing personal. It's just try using something else.
Thank you, Representative Grunhagen. Representative Baker.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Christensen. We've talked about this bill before, and I'm sorry that I missed the first opening statement from you on the bill. I think in general this is a good idea, and I've shared that with you as a member of the Energy Committee. The one thing I continue to look for is more efficient ways of delivering power to our public properties. What I talked with you before regarding this bill, and I don't think it's been changed, and correct me if I'm wrong, and again, I don't have actually issue with the ongoing reporting. I think it literally is 15 minutes, and I don't think that's a problem. My school districts have not said it's an issue. But I think you're missing a component on here by involving local utilities and local companies to help get it set up. And I'm kind of curious, maybe one of the testifiers can answer this for me, if you can't, Representative Christensen, but what does it take on average to set up a 80,000-square-foot elementary school to get it in the system, if it isn't in the system? Could somebody help me with, you know, is it several hours to kind of get it there built, kind of built that thing for a one-time thing, and then it's going? I'm just curious because you've got a lot of things to check on. What are all the things that are using energy, all these things? Can somebody tell me how much is it to build this database initially?
Thank you, Representative, and I will defer.
Ms. Snyder.
So I just want to clarify, the question is to get the building into Beaufort Benchmarking?
Yes.
Okay, so it's a matter of clicking this link, add a site or a building. We're going to add it to a new site. We'll specify the meters that it needs, typically electric and gas. We're going to give it a building name, Elementary 1, so I'm not going to take the time to type right now. Give it an address, which they should have fairly readily available. Give it an occupancy date, which is completely, you know, estimate would be 1970, you know, 1960. They'll go to the space usage tab. They'll pick elementary school. So we'll just scroll down. Elementary school, you said 80,000. and they can save and close and they're done.
So, Madam Chair, thank you. It's not a matter of knowing the square feet of the gymnasium and the cafeteria and the classrooms.
They would like to take it to the next level. Sorry. Okay. If they'd like to take it to the next level, they can definitely fine-tune the square footages and the percentages. But if they would like, they can take it straight as with the defaults. A lot of times in talking with different organizations, we have quantified these from years and years of working with districts and new construction, and this is a pretty consistent breakout of the different spaces. So they could be done in 5 minutes.
Representative Baker. Representative Kunesh-Podein.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for bringing this to us, Representative Christensen. This kind of reminds me of that Xcel energy bill that we get every month, and it kind of compares you to your neighbor, mm-hmm. who's more efficient or what, mm-hmm. you know, and my husband and I look at that, and we're kind of like, okay, what are we going to turn off now, or, you know, where, what did we use that caused us to use so much energy? So I think this is a mindful tool for schools, and I looked it up on the computer when you were doing this and see that the school district that I teach in is a participant. And I remember, I want to say maybe 2 years or 3 years ago, the custodians came and said, we just did this review and our electrical use is way up and it's costing the district X amount of dollars and the school it's, you know, we're using this amount of money. We need to reduce it. And I just want to remind folks that my district started out with a $10.6 million deficit this year. So we are looking for every opportunity to save money so that that money is going into the classrooms. And so one of the things that the administration asked, would we look around and see where we could find efficiencies when it comes to electricity use and that sort of thing? Well, at that time, we still had a big PC computer lab. And every morning, I would go in and turn it on. And then every night, sometimes I would turn it off, sometimes I wouldn't. They were on a timer. But if I didn't go in and turn them on or off, they would just pop on, and then we'd oftentimes come in the morning, and it would still be on. And so that was one way that I realized that we could save efficiency, even when when the screen is dark. If the computer's on, it's still using electricity. So we literally went in and took all the timers off of that lab. We went around and looked for other ways. Instead of leaving a light on overnight in the library, we turned it off. And there was immediate changes by the next month when they looked at that. And it, you know, over time, that is a huge amount of money that a school could save, let alone a district itself. So I think this is great. I see that my school is participating. My district is participating in it. I'd be really curious to see, since they began it, how much they've been able to save and recover for other more important expenses. But I like the fact that it isn't a mandate, that it's available, it's free. It obviously is very simple to use. Anybody with some simple technology skills, that I would do that for my school district if they asked me to, seeing as it's that simple. And so I think this is a great mindful tool in a day and age when we're really trying to save money and get the resources into the schools where it really matters. So thank you very much.
Thank you. I have Representative Erickson, then Representative Herr, and then I hope to move for a vote because we got some people that came from Breckenridge. So Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Christensen, why did you decide to put this in statute?
Representative Christensen.
I believe it should be out there. I think it's good for schools. I think it's good for taxpayers. I think it's one way for us to look at the spending that we're doing on schools, which is a lot of spending, and to look at it and to be able to evaluate where those money and where those dollars can go. The fact that it's in statute is, you know, gives it a little bit of power, but we're not, like we said, we are not mandating anything in the districts. I think it's good for the environment. I think it's good for cost savings. I think it's good for taxpayers and school districts. So, you know, I feel strongly that it being in statute, it will have a little bit more of a appeal to schools.
Representative Erickson, follow-up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Christensen, it is something that they're required to do. It's just that you've given them the option of how to report it, that they can use the utility, electric or gas utility, to provide the information. Is that not correct?
That's correct. The word. Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, the word required is in there, but we have taken out any penalty, so they still have a choice. If they don't choose to follow the program, they don't have to follow the program.
And so, Madam Chair, it seems to me that I looked at Princeton. I know that they're part of this, and it was mentioned by the testifier as well. But we also receive from our local utility, because we're municipally owned, at least I'm part of it, even though I live in the country, the report. So it seems to me that that report has already been given to my school district for each of its buildings, because it's given to everyone who is a user in the community. So this seems like it's a double duty. Am I off on the wrong track?
Representative Christensen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to defer.
Mr. Robbie or Ms. Christensen?
Yeah. Your choice.
Is that Schneider, I mean? Sorry.
So, yes, without seeing what your Muni's report looks like, more than likely they don't have the benchmark information in there to know what the building is expected to use based off of its building attributes to know what the potential savings may be. But, again, I'm not familiar with Princeton's utility reporting.
Representative Erickson,
follow up. Yeah, final question. So what is the goal, really, for our districts? Is it to move them away from a certain type of energy use? I mean, I'm looking to find out why would we need this in statute if it's something that school boards, I think, are responsible enough to take care of. If MGE sends out a guide that they should pay attention to their energy consumption and in good faith, and School Boards Association as well, reduce their consumption use, especially if it's going to save them dollars. What's the end goal?
Madam Chair, Representative, the end goal is to save money for school districts, to save taxpayer money, to be environmentally friendly, and to be efficient in the use of all of our energies in school buildings and public buildings, etc. So I think those three things there are enough to make it something that most districts, I know my district is going to participate in, and I don't see where the negatives are, to be honest.
Well, Madam Chair, I just felt the school board could make those decisions about determining what is good for their buildings. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Christensen. Representative Burr.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll try to be really quick here. So I think maybe I've kind of gotten a reputation for being a data person, and data is really important. So I just really appreciate the effort to sort of get everybody onto the same page to do the same things, because I think for me, I think that this could lead to a really good outcome later on, right? That if we can see, like, I used to work for St. Paul Public Schools at their main headquarters, or their main, like, building on Colburn Street, but there was a school attached to it. And I would come in and work on Saturdays and Sunday, and I'd say, why is it so hot in here? And I learned that we were already turning off all of our the AC in the building on the weekends. We turn them off in the summertime. We minimize the amount of usage. And I feel like school districts are already doing a really good job trying to manage their energy. And I think that collecting this data will help us see that even when school districts have done everything that they possibly can, maybe buildings are old and they need to have replacements of some of their equipment, that maybe there are things that we need to do to help enhance our schools because they're already doing everything they possibly can. And so I really appreciate the effort in doing this, because then they can come as a group to say, we need greater investments in our facilities to be able to ensure that we're meeting the energy guidelines that all of you would like for us to meet. And so I know that this is a really tough balance to ask schools to do more, because I did work there, and it was really hard to keep asking schools to keep doing more. But I also find that I don't want us to ever be in a place where we'll say, well, we didn't have the data to show that you all actually needed money. We don't have the information to support that this is where we need to go in providing better facilities for our students. And so I almost feel like unless we do this, we won't have the data to support what in the future needs to happen. And then I don't want just the schools who were collecting the data to be able to say, well, we need additional funding to help this. If all schools are doing it, then there won't be disparity in who gets funding to improve their buildings and who doesn't. And so I guess I'm just thinking down the road and down the line, and I really appreciate that this is being implemented so that we can then look to the future instead of continually trying to catch up and fix things that are already wrong, and that only some people get it and some people don't. So I just wanted to say thank you, because data is really important.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Baker, I do want to make sure we have time for the people from Breckenridge. Can you please make it?
My only question, Madam Chair, is the pathway to this bill. I know that I sit on the Energy Committee along with Representative Christensen. We've talked about this a little bit with a conservation improvement plan, and this might be a way to make this bill better. Is it possibly going to energy after this, or what is the plan of this bill?
Representative Baker, it already went to energy, I believe. Representative Christensen?
It doesn't say it on
Madam Chair, the bill. No, and we did present it to energy, and they said it does not have to go through energy.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah. And it is just, Representative Baker, it is just dealing with schools, so.
Okay. Thank you.
I was reading my notes wrong that the chair asked, that she said she didn't want to see it. So I'm seeing nods from Mr. Burns in the back. All right, members, seeing no other questions, Representative Christensen, final word.
I thank you. I think this is a good program. I think it's. I realize maybe school boards could do this, but I think the benefit of the history that the software and that this program has behind it will be more than helpful to schools and make it less clumsy when and if they do decide to implement this kind of plan. So I certainly hope you'll vote for it. Thank you.
Thank you. Members, the motion, Representative Christensen renews her motion for House File 1369 is amended to move to General Registry. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
No.
And you're off to the General Registry. Thank you. Next, we have up House File 2259 and Why People Get Settled. Have folks had a chance to look at the minutes? I want to adopt them before I forget.
I move we accept the minutes, Chair.
Representative Kunesh-Podein moves that we accept the minutes for Thursday, March 14th. Any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those opposed? The minutes have been adopted. And it looks like Representative Backer is ready with his group. Sorry, that took a little longer than expected. House File 2259, Representative Backer. Let's see who... Representative Erickson, the motion would be to go to
Madam Chair, I move 2259, and I believe Representative Backer has an amendment.
Yes.
So I will move the A1 amendment as well.
Thank you. Representative Erickson moves House File 2259, the motions to go to Ways and Means, and Representative Erickson has also moved the A1 amendment. Representative Backer, would you like to explain your A1 amendment?
It just really makes things neater.
Yes.
That's really what it does.
That is very, very good explanation, Representative Backer. So the motion is to approve the A1 amendment. Any further discussion on the motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The A1 amendment's adopted. The bill is in the shape the author would like to present it. Why don't you proceed?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair and members. Breckenridge, as some of you may or may not know, my district is on two states. I border North Dakota and South Dakota. And Breckenridge borders next to North Dakota, and its twin city would be Wahpeton. And about eight blocks away, they have a tech college there. But the students in Breckenridge are not able to utilize those wonderful resources and so forth. So currently, because of that border boundary, we run into this into these type of situations out on the west part of the state. And also the school does not have the facilities to bring people in, and also the resources. So what we're looking to do is to be more efficient, use the resources that are right next door, eight blocks away. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to the superintendent and also some of the students and let them share you the information, and they'll be able to answer any questions. So I'll turn it over to the superintendent. Thank you.
Superintendent, please state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you. Diane Cordes, Superintendent, Breckenridge Schools. Thank you, Chair Joachim and members of the committee. We really appreciate our opportunity to be here today, and I'm going to be brief because who you really want to hear from are our students. Once again, I just want to share with you that Breckenridge, Minnesota, is in a very unique situation. We believe, after doing quite a bit of research, what we learned is that Breckenridge is the only border city, and when I say border, I mean a city that's butted right up against another city in another state, where the Minnesota city, Breckenridge, does not have a post-secondary education school, and the city out of the state does, in this case, Wahpeton. All other sister cities in this scenario, either both or just the Minnesota city have the post-secondary school. And so I point that out to you because this is a very narrow bill. I know there might be concern about a can of worms, so to speak, that this could open up if this is considered, but we believe that this could be a great solution for a small rural school that is struggling to offer career and tech education credits to its students that are critical for our workforce, really, in the state of Minnesota, but really specifically in our region and in our communities. Our students, if they want to take career and tech education credits, have to travel about an hour away. And we believe that the option that we have in Wahpeton would be a great option for a number of different reasons, including efficiency and safety for our students. They have state-of-the-art equipment there that Breckenridge will never be able to have in our little program, and the breadth of classes that would be available to our students would be much greater. We're a small school, and there's no way individually we could offer all of these things on our own, but we do have that resource available to us so that students could pick different options, again, more than we'd ever be able to offer on our own. The other thing I want to point out is that it happens that I have three young men with me to testify. Right now we're doing a pilot program on a grant written by actually one of the teachers at the North Dakota School of Science, who invited us to participate to just see if we could pilot a program, what it might be like, and if it could be successful with our students. And right now we're doing welding first semester, and we did a manufacturing unit second semester. It is true that those two particular classes attracted mostly males. But if we were able to use this career and tech ed post-secondary agreement, there would be opportunity for our young women as well, and that's very exciting. So it would, I just want to point that out, that it isn't gender specific. It would be available to men and women, girls and boys in our case. I also want to point out that our school board is very on board with this. I want you to know that this isn't our first shot at trying to solve this problem. We have tried a number of different things to be as creative as we could be. We looked at possibly cooperating with neighboring schools. We looked at a portable lab or unit that we might be able to share with a number of schools in our region. We have looked at a number of different options. None of them really solved the problem that we had, because not only are the resources and the space and the technology a problem, also it's getting certified career and tech education teachers out in our area. And the last thing I'll say before I turn it over to the students is that during the period of time where we were working with Representative Backer in trying to bring this bill forward, it ended up that our agriculture teacher, we have one agriculture teacher in Breckenridge, resigned to move to closer to the metro area. That position has been open now for quite a while, and we're very concerned that we're not going to get a licensed candidate for that. So that's another struggle that we have in our area, is not just about the physical resources, but about trying to find certified teachers to teach. So another reason why cooperating with NDSCS would just be a really good solution for us, and we believe very efficient for the state as well.
Thank you, Superintendent. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you. My name is Kate Erbis. I'm a student, junior at Breckenridge High School, currently in the pilot program this year. The biggest experience for me this year has been the amazing facilities at NDSCS. It really changes your learning experience. The facilities are much larger and a lot more room for improvement in our education when we get to go over there. It's a really fun type of learning experience over there. They have state-of-the-art equipment that we just don't have the space and resources have in our school in Breckenridge. It's really nice being that close, right across the river. It's right there for us. I hope in the future I can continue to take these classes with NDSES as I choose my career path someday. These career tech ed programs now at NDSES would really benefit if I can take them in high school for college credit to get me into the workforce sooner someday.
Thank you, Mr. Urbis. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Hi, my name is Brid Wall, and I'd like to they have much better equipment there that we just don't have. They get brand new equipment every year since they have stuff with companies, I suppose. And their teachers, they're just much more fit to teach us since they're more for one specific area instead of a broad agriculture area. And since they have so much more equipment there, there's much better one-on-one teaching abilities they can have with us. So I've learned a lot more going to those college classes. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wall. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Austin Erickson. I'm a sophomore at Breckenridge High School. And I feel like this is such a great program because when we go over there, our shop in our school has four welding, and they're stick welding, which are really old. And so we have 12 people in our class. And so when we go over there, we're at our school, only four people can weld, and everybody else just kind of sits around and waits because that you can't do anything because they're already being welded on. When we go over there, they have enough welders for every kid, and they're new welders, so they're going to be what you're going to be using when you're going into that career. And when you're over there, it's just a lot more professional environment. So high schools kind of just have, you know, it's high school. When you go over to that college, you feel like you have a responsibility and just feel like you need to be mature, and it just puts you into a better learning and like just headspace that you just soak up so much more knowledge. And one thing that my classmates wanted me to say is that when we go over there, you just learn so much more. Like stuff that we learned like in a couple weeks, we had learned in 1 or 2 days, and just it just always rolled. Just the learning just always kept coming, and it was just such a good experience. And everyone was so engaged. And it was really nice to have a professor that was specifically on that topic because he could answer you any question. You'd go up to ask him. You wouldn't have to worry about, you know, just go up there. He'd tell you. He'd show you even. And this, being able to do this kind of, it worries me if we can't strike a deal or something of the sorts because our ag teacher's leaving. And so if we can't find someone that's certified, a lot of the classes and stuff that I'd like to like keep taking to keep on through my career aren't going to be available. So, and then another thing is, so to get into these classes, you have to have a certain grade point average and all that. And having these inset and having that grade requirement is pushing a lot of kids to keep their grades up so that way they can go into them. So it's even improving students' grades overall.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Erickson. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I really appreciate it. My name is Craig Peterson, high school principal at Breckenridge. And as all of you committee members can see, we brought three young gentlemen that through our pilot program are being affected directly and in the workforce right away. Two juniors and one sophomore. Next year we'll have two seniors and a junior. And if this, if we can keep moving this bill forward, they'll directly be affected by your legislation. Again, thank you very much for committee members and Madam Chair for having us. Education and government together, working together to create opportunities, and that's what you'll be doing this afternoon for these three young men and other men and women in our community of Breckenridge. We believe at Breckenridge that we're a time machine, not a time capsule. School isn't like it was in the 70s, 80s, and 90s when we were in school. It's not like that anymore. We all know that. And we want to create these opportunities for our students, for our community, create jobs, give them opportunities, give families opportunities. I think that's what we do as education and government. I guess that's my opinion. And as high school principal, creating opportunities for these students with this bill would be priority number one for me as a principal. So I thank you for your time this afternoon. we'll take questions, I guess, if you have any, Madam Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Peterson. We have a little list going. So,
you bet.
Representative Kunesh-Padin.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for coming all the way from Breckenridge to share this plan. I do have a couple of questions, and I think it's really important that we are creating these opportunities for students, especially those in greater Minnesota that really don't have the opportunities and the resources so close as we do here in the Twin Cities or some of the other large metro areas. But I have a couple of questions. And the first one is, are there other examples of interstate cooperation, either Wisconsin or any of our border states that work together on issues sort of like this?
Representative Backer or Superintendent, whoever would like to answer.
Well, thank Madam Chair. In regards with Pulse Education, I'm not aware of it. Yeah. The Superintendent may be. But we do this all the time on middle schools, pre-K, K-8. I mean, I served on school board, not as long as Glenn had, but only for 4 years. And we worked a lot with our South Dakota neighbors and stuff. So we do that. Already in that setting, in regards with Tech College, you would have to answer that question.
Thank you. We did quite a bit of research to learn the answer to that question, and what we found in terms of an arrangement where a Minnesota high school offered post-secondary enrollment option credits outside of the state, the only thing we found that was somewhat similar is Presentation College out of South Dakota has a presence in Fairmont, Minnesota, and so they actually have a site license and offer classes through there.
Hmm.
So that would be different, however, than what we're talking about here.
Thank you, Superintendent. I think I'll also go to Mr. Strom, might be able to enlighten us a little bit.
Madam Chair, as the Superintendent said, Presentation is the only out-of-state institution that at one time received PSEO payments. South Dakota, however, does have tuition reciprocity with Minnesota high school schools, including high school programs. So with Minnesota schools on the border and South Dakota schools, they share programs back and forth. And some of those include vocational activities at the high school level.
Thank you. Representative Kunesh-Padin, follow up.
Thank you. Well, you did answer my next question about how that works financially. You said there's reciprocity. Is that correct?
Madam
Mr.
Chair,
Strong?
Yeah, yes. There's a negotiated agreement with South Dakota that determines how the money flows back and forth for the K-12 part of it. And if I could just add on the amendment that the committee adopted, the method that Breckenridge proposes is to use the third option of PSEO. The first option is a traditional payment, a traditional PSEO, where the state directly pays the higher education institution. The second option is the concurrent enrollment, where the post-secondary institution trains the high school teachers and they present that on site. And the third option, which more districts in the metro area use now, is one where they contract with the higher education institution directly. The funds would still go to the Breckenridge School in this case, and under contract, essentially, it would have the PSEO program provided.
One more
follow-up. And just the last one, thank you, Madam Chair, is how do the credits work then? And does Breckenridge decide that? So the credit isn't coming from another state institution, but it's considered in-house, so to speak?
Superintendent?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Actually, both those things would be true. The students would get a credit, an elective credit, transcripted on their Breckenridge High School transcript. At the same time, they would be receiving credit through North Dakota State College of Science, so they'd be starting a transcript there as well.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Wasilik.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think the question about funding answered one of my questions, but Superintendent, you had mentioned mentioned that there might be some girl students involved. I'm wondering if you have any specific outreach you do to get more folks who maybe aren't traditionally in these sorts of fields to take these PSEO courses in these fields.
Thank you for that question. I'm sorry. Pardon me. Thank you. The answer is yes. We do spend a fair amount of time trying to in-service all of our students about the opportunities. And so let me take a step back and say that this would be specific to career and tech education classes. So we still will do concurrent enrollment. We have a partnership with M State, and we offer a number of classes, probably upwards of 35 credits that students could take through M State, which would be, I'm going to call them more the liberal arts kinds of credits, the general ed credits. So I want to be clear on that. And so whether it's concurrent enrollment, PSEO, traditional PSEO, or now this career and tech ed option, we try to go to on both sides of that, try to encourage females into more non-traditional careers for them, but also males into non-traditional careers on their side as well. Really important in terms of establishing our local workforce.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, can I add on to that as well?
Yes, Mr.
To answer a great question, we're this is kind of a perfect storm right now. We're doing our pre-registration for next year for 2019-20. And the small school that we are, we have 60, 65 kids in a class. It's pretty easy as me as a principal to sit up and talk to the junior class about what we're doing here this afternoon and say, hey, we're going down to the Capitol to talk about NDSCS and opportunities for all of you for next year, which is going to impact all of you. How many of you would be interested in going to NDSCS next year and taking a college CTE class? Okay. That's pretty easy. I can talk to our sophomores about that as well. I get our seniors are really bummed out because they're graduating. They won't get that opportunity that if we can get this opportunity. So in terms of recruitment, very, very easy for us to recruit. I think it's going to be about, honestly, it's going to be about programming and what we choose to do in the CT fields. Again, Superintendent Cordes talked about it will not impact M-State. It will not be in there. It'll be in CT fields. And that's going to be one of our challenges. Okay, what do we offer? What does NDSCS let us into? So that's going to be exciting. We'll have a lot more data. If this goes through, it'll be kind of fun because I think our kids will be interested. Not I think, I know our students will be interested.
Thank you. Representative Hewitt.
Madam Chair, and two real quick questions. So that's exactly where I was going to go with my question is other programs that are offered. I know in my own world, healthcare, we start out in the tech schools many time and move our way up. Are they offering anything in healthcare? Because I know that's a big demand in your area.
Superintendent?
Thank you for that question, and thank you, Madam Chair. There is the opportunity for healthcare, different healthcare, nursing, and some other healthcare programming at NDSCS. One of the things that we will work on, assuming when this happens for our district, is exactly what partnerships that we can form. Part of that is going to be what programming at NDSCS has room and can still take classes, similar to exactly what would happen if a student went PSEO at a state college and actually went to their campus. But we believe that there will be opportunity in healthcare.
And Madam Chair, thank you for that question. Quick follow-up, more of a statement. And Representative Backer, this is such a great program. I'm glad you thought outside the box and brought this forward. I lived in Hudson. My friends in Stillwater got to go to 916. I couldn't go because I lived in Wisconsin. So moved to Minnesota. But I really want to thank you for bringing this forward outside of the box thinking, and this is a great idea.
Thank you, Representative Backer.
Yeah, Chair, and thank you, Representative. It's really Superintendent Breckenridge, they brought it to me, and we face these challenges all the time. 4 years ago, we had a situation with my school in Browns Valley that dealt with pre-K. We had to think outside of the box. So I really think that this is a nonpartisan issue because we're helping students and our workforce in Minnesota, and I'm really pleased with the chair for hearing this bill, and I know the constituents in 12A, especially around Breckenridge, are really appreciate that, so thank you for that.
Representative Christensen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would also like to say thank you for bringing the bill forward, and I'd like to thank the students who came to speak with us today. I know you probably are bummed out that you missed a couple hours of school, but you can make it up later. Yeah, so thank you so much for your testimony. It meant a lot. Thank you.
Yeah, the students are expected to write a report for their social studies or civics teacher, right? Okay. I've got a list. I've got Representative Backer, Erdahl, Scott, and Erickson. Representative Backer. Baker. Sorry.
One letter from
Great. You know, I have to apologize.
I knew this.
One letter from Great.
We all came into the legislature together. I've always gotten you guys confused. No, just kidding.
Madam Chair. I was actually going to tease him about the whole name thing already, but that's been blown. I want to make sure that the students that are here today know what you're doing for the students behind you that are coming in years to come. You're changing legislation, which should have been done a long time ago. I'm surprised Representative Backer hasn't gotten it to us sooner than this, but we'll take that as it is. But he's also he's a slow learner, but we'll get it there. But actually, he's one of my best pals here, and he knows we're kidding because we get each other's mail all the time. But, Madam Chair, my question to you might be, this is such a great bill. This should be on a standalone motion, I hope, that goes to the House floor, and this is more of a request. We need to talk about this in its clarity on the House floor, about how school districts can think outside the box and reach outside and how this was led by students. I to make that request, because this is a perfect bill for us to hear on the House floor. I hope we can do something like that if we have the time. So it's more of just a request to leadership. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Representative Baker. You have to take that up with Representative Dabney, because they have to see it next in finance. And not quite sure, and I don't know how this works, if higher ed has to see it, because it is PSEO. So, but definitely make sure you chat with them. Okay. Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I've got a whole bunch of little things here, but they're all fairly quick. First of all, I like the suggestion of experiential learning.
Trying to help,
because
trying
course,
to help,
that's in my bill, and you can use that in a civics class.
Hold on.
I'm glad to see that there's kind of a precedence for doing this. We need to find ways to meet needs. I guess I'm a little bit concerned that Breckenridge seems to suffer in comparison to Wahpeton, but that can be maybe rectified through other things later on. But I like to see the flexibility here, and it's all going across state lines, whatever. I mean, Representative Backer is very familiar with that. I believe his area code is 701.
And my cell phone, yes.
Your cell phone, yes. You do live in Minnesota, though.
I do.
Okay.
just barely, though. Just barely.
So I
continue.
Thank you. As I said, I support this. And I would be remiss if I did not point out the amazing coincidences of this group coming today. The principal, Principal Peterson, his father was the former superintendent of Eden Valley Watkins in my district. The superintendent, Mrs. Cordes, I taught at New London Spicer, where Matt Cordes was the basketball coach. My granddaughter teaches in Wahpeton and coaches softball in Breckenridge. So kind of a
Representative Erdahl, we have to do a whole new game of 7 degrees of separation.
Yeah, it's all here.
Erdahl. Yes, awesome.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Representative Scott.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I used to live across the river there in Wahpeton, and I know science school is, as we referred to it back then, science school, is a really good institution. And so I'm really glad these students, at least through this pilot project, are being able to take advantage of the school. And I just I like this bill very much and think it's a very practical thing to do. And sometimes we lose sight of the practical down here in the legislative process. And so if there any of us, if I can be helpful in any way, please let me know. But I appreciate you being here. And I used to work across the river in Breckenridge, although we lived in Wahpeton. So thanks for making the trip down today.
Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I, too, am very supportive of this. Having grown up in North Dakota and having had family who went to the School of Science several years ago, but since then, nieces and nephews. And the opportunity that this provides for these students is just incredible, because this is such an outstanding school and in career and technical, and thank you so much, gentlemen, for your testimonies, but in career and technical, they have some of the best programs in the nation. And I was just looking at their lineup. You know, there's ag, and your area is very much agriculture, architecture, finance, health science, as Representative Hewitt was asking about, hospitality and tourism. I mean, I know that you have listed a few on here that you're very specifically interested in, but for our young men and our young women, this is an institution that we can't deny these wonderful students the opportunity to earn credits from, so they can have that experience, not only in career and technical, but have a leg up for their careers, as they mentioned. So I certainly will be supportive of this and hope we can move forward, because it's very little in funding. It's not going to hurt us one bit. So thank you very much for coming, and best wishes to you.
I'm Representative Kunesh-Badin. You had a quick follow-up for Mr. Strom, perhaps.
Yep, thank you. Mr. Strom, are there any schools that do the opposite, send their students into Minnesota schools from any of our border states as well?
Mr. Strom.
Madam Chair, Representative Kunesh-Badin, yes, with both South, well, we have three arrangements. In South Dakota, we have a full reciprocity agreement with the border districts. And so South Dakota students, some of those are enrolled in Minnesota school districts. And when that happens, as I understand it, they're eligible for PSEO. So they're enrolled in the Minnesota institution. In Iowa, we have the state of Minnesota has a different, more limited kind of reciprocity agreement there. And I'm not aware if there's any PSEO between the students who move back and forth with Iowa. And then finally, we have one school district in Minnesota where the students all take classes in Wisconsin, in the Franconia district. All the kids cross the river to Wisconsin. But my understanding is those children would be eligible for PSEO, even though the school that they attend is in Wisconsin.
Thank you. And I think Representative Backer had a follow-up on that.
Yes. Madam Chair, this stuff's very common to me, but it's a good question. Just use our school, Browns Valley, Minnesota. In the late 60s, early 70s, we actually came down here and got special provision, and we formed and went out to Pierre. They formed a special South Dakota school district, and they actually then did a capital improvement bond and built the building in Minnesota. Wow, so this is extremely common. Right now, the Browns Valley, probably about two-thirds of our students from K to 8 is from South Dakota, and then our students from 9 to 12 go to Sisseton, South Dakota. So this is common for us. This is something we do every single day in our neck of the woods just because we're a border community, and I represent so many border communities. But very good question. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you, Representative Backer. Before I go to your closing comments, I want to quick first see, is there anybody in the audience that would wish to testify? And then I'm going to use chair prerogative and ask some of the students questions since you came all the way down here. I just want to know, a lot of us adults at the table, and you're almost adults, have been talking about what students may be interested in if this were to open up. I would love to hear from you guys what classes you may be interested in if we pass this bill. And go ahead, just state your name for the record. Whoever wants to answer, you can each answer, and just speak into the microphone.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Kate Urbis. Some of the classes I'd be really interested in the field of construction, because I think the career path I'd like to choose someday is construction management. That's kind of what I plan on right now. So it'd be really cool to have that experience in high school already, and it'd be like a jump start, sort of. On my way to getting my diploma and for high school, and then going on to college, and it almost be shorter college and faster to the workforce.
Thank you, Mr. Urbis. Anyone else like to pipe in?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Austin Erickson. I'm interested in, they have robotics and automated machines, and they have stuff like that, because I'm interested in software programming and putting that into practical use.
Thank you, Mr. Erickson. Mr. Wall, did you have anything else to add?
I am very also interested in the construction management. They have a very good program over there about construction. Thank you.
Thank you. Wonderful. And then I'll have the Representative Backer come up for final comments, and then we'll move to a vote. Thank you, gentlemen.
Yeah, Madam Chair, members, you know, we see a lot of bills, and this is just one of those bills. It's the right thing to do. It's the good thing to do. It is not a Republican or Democrat. It's a Minnesota thing. You know, we talked about our governor, One Minnesota, and this is really what it does. So I would ask your guys' support here. Also, as we move on, I would ask people's support here, because this is one of those things that we get elected to do the right and something good for our future generation, and this would definitely do it. Recognize it's a small area right now, but who knows how this could help other communities as a pilot product project in Minnesota. So we appreciate your support and helping it to continue to move on. Thank you, members. And, again, thank you very much, Madam Chair, for hearing this.
Thank you, Representative Backer. I renew Representative Erickson's motion that House File 2259 as amended move to Ways and Means. Is there any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? House File 2259 is on its way to Ways and Means.
Thank you.
And members, I think we will be meeting, I believe, look for announcements that will be next Wednesday. The only way I foresee us seeing Tuesday is if there's something that made first deadline that we absolutely have to see. So with that, meeting is adjourned.